Dear ones, let's unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, thou who art high and lifted up, we have opened this morning service with a hymn that this is a day of blessedness and rest for us. And thou, Lord, who art on thy throne, lookest down upon us with a deep love. And we thank thee, Lord, for thy mercy, which is new every morning. We pray, Lord, that this truly would be a day of rest and blessedness for each one of us as we look into thy word, as we ponder upon thy truths. Lord, reveal thyself to each one of us. Speak mightily to our hearts, O Lord, and may our hearts be open to receive thee, Lord Jesus. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It is there with God's help that we would turn together and read from the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter number 16. Любим и желаем со Божьей помощью да се прочита из Евангелия по Иоанну, 16 глава. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and he said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy shall be, may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. And that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverbs. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. May God bless our reading. Let us, dear ones, the throng that is around Jesus is walking with him here, and they're going to Gethsemane. And he is speaking to them, and he is telling them of persecutions that will come. But he speaks here of the working and the coming of the Holy Spirit of God. He reveals to his disciples and to us today the working of the Holy Spirit. And he tells his disciples that, he says, I'm going to tell you these things so that when they happen, that you don't get offended. He says, they're going to take you, they're going to put you out of synagogues. The time comes that whoever kills you will think that he is doing God's service. And we know that we already ran across through the reading of the scriptures of they would hang the membership of the synagogues over them, that if they would accept Jesus, that he is the Son of God, they would be cast out of the synagogue. Membership in the synagogue was hanging over them where they couldn't even worship Jesus. If they did, they would be cast out. That was already taking place. And we know that as the Apostle Paul preached from synagogue to synagogue, that when the full declaration of Jesus Christ and who he was being preached, they would cast him out of the synagogue also. And we know that Apostle Paul himself said that he thought when he was killing Christians, we're talking about killing them, snuffing out their life. Why? What are they guilty of? They love the Lord Jesus. Because of that, Paul said that he thought he was doing God's service. This is exactly what Jesus predicted that would happen. Didn't really predict. He told them what will happen. He prophesied to them, this will happen. But before this happens, I'm telling you this so that you know these things are going to come. In serving me, you will run into these things. But don't be offended. Don't let your faith fall. Believe. And so in this chapter, dear ones, there's a message of a great hope. He says, these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. One who knows the Father, who knows Jesus, knows the Father. The Jews had proclaimed that they know the Father, and they didn't accept Jesus. And Jesus says, they don't know the Father. The Jew does not know the Father because he doesn't know Jesus. He says, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And here Jesus is telling them, I proceed from the Father. And I've taken on flesh and blood to walk with you, to show you the will of the Father, and to live out a life of absolute righteousness, holiness, of which I am going to tell you that you will be empowered to overcome this flesh and to live this way. These things I told you, that when that time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And he says, these things said I not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. There were many things that Jesus did not need to tell his disciples. He was with them. He was that buffer between the world and their belief in him. He was there with them. He took the brunt of the force of Satan. He took it all. He said, I didn't need to tell you of these things. I was with you. But I'm going to depart. I'm going to leave. And he says, I go now my way. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And he says, sorrow hath filled your heart. They didn't ask him, where are you going? Because if they were to understand where he was going, sorrow would not fill their heart. But they were thinking of themselves. Wait a minute. This is the one who I'm hanging all my hope in. This is who I'm believing and walking. This is who I put away all of the things. When you called me, I came to you, and now you're going to leave me. And they didn't understand. And they didn't even ask. He says, and then now he reveals to them, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. I have to go. It is necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. They needed the Comforter. Jesus came, showed a way. Jesus came, defeated Satan. We read that here. Jesus came and fulfilled all righteousness. I have to go away, he said, because I can only be where I am. But I am going to send you the Holy Spirit of God. And he will reveal everything to you that you need to know. And we know that the Holy Spirit points everyone to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has the answer to everything that is in our life. And my dear brother, my dear sister, my dear friend, every one of us came this morning into the house of prayer where God's Spirit is amongst us. This Spirit who Jesus said, I will send him. It is necessary that I send him. We have chosen to come together into a house of prayer and worship to magnify his name, to learn about him, and his Spirit is amongst us, teaching us of Jesus. And every one of us will be shown through the reading of his word who he is. And why did we come here? Why did I come? I have to ask myself, why did I come into the house of prayer? Because Jesus is going to reveal himself to us through the Holy Spirit. And then now, I will be faced with a decision. And we make this decision every time we come into the house of worship. We make a decision what I will do with this Jesus whom I have heard about. What will I do with him? And every one of us makes that decision. We may not come into the house of the worship planning to reject him. We may not even give it any thought. We may have come just because I know it's time to come. We may have come with a deep yearning within our hearts to worship him. But we have to know that Jesus here says, when he has come, who? The Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. He will reprove the world of righteousness. He will reprove the world of judgment. The Holy Spirit will speak to you and to me of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And all of this is seen in Jesus Christ. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. He is here. He is here. Why do we dismiss the Holy Spirit and his leading and his guiding? As he reproves the world of sin, and he says of sin. Okay, so right away when we speak of sin, we think of what? Okay, what did I do this week? I had evil thoughts. I had lustful thoughts. I stole something. I coveted it. I was proud. We think of individual sins. I was drunk. I became a glutton. I did these things. The Bible doesn't tell us that. He says the Spirit will come and reprove the world of sin. He says, he will reprove the world of sin because they believe not on me. That is your sin. That is my sin. Brothers and sisters, that is my sin if I am converted. Because when I allow sin and I do not check it by the Holy Spirit's guidance and his pointing to the righteousness that is found in Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit will sanctify me and create in me a new man, one to live out a life that is able to be lived in the power of the Spirit of God. When I reject that, I have made my choice. And he says here, that is the sin that you will be giving an answer for. You rejected my son. God cannot forgive you for that sin. He can't. God loves you so much, he sent his son into the world to die. A mysterious death that none of us can fully comprehend and understand. The mystery of his sufferings for sin, the judgment of sin was upon him. When he hung upon that cross, and it tells us that Satan bruised his heel, but it is that victory on the cross that he crushes Satan. And it tells us here of judgment, the judgment for sin, because it tells us here, the prince of this world is judged. Now, the prince of this world is judged. He is defeated. He is cast into hell's fire. You and I make a choice today. Will I be judged with the same judgment of the prince of this world because I rejected Jesus Christ? The Holy Spirit is speaking to us, all of us, today. All of us. This is the judgment for sin. The sin of rejecting Jesus Christ, my Lord. I know we've said this many times. We've heard this many a times. If a man is sick, let's say he has cancer, it's eating away at him. And there is a remedy. Here, take this. You will be made whole. No. He will die. He will die of cancer. But the reason that he died was because he rejected the remedy. The reason you will die in judgment is because of your sin, yes. But ultimately, the greatest sin is you rejected Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Savior. You rejected him. Of righteousness. The Holy Spirit will reprove the world of righteousness. How? He says, because I go to the Father. Jesus Christ came, proceeded from the Father. He took on flesh and blood. He lived a completely unblemished life, perfect in every way. He says, I belong this life that I have lived here. I proceed from the Father. I came to you. I came. I showed you the way. And now I'm going back to the Father. Why? Because he is righteous altogether. And the Holy Spirit is reproving the world. It's all in his Son. He came to condemn sin, to bring forth the judgment upon the prince of this world. And he is calling, come unto me. You know, you might sit here, my dear friend, and we've heard this many times. You might sit here and say, you might be thinking about a sin that you have that you just can't overcome. And that could be also us, brothers and sisters. We fall into sin that we can't overcome. And we can sit here and we can sorrow over that sin day and night. Oh, I can't believe I did it again. And just wallow in our sorrows of this sin that I cannot overcome. It is because of what? I did not believe. Well, how can that be? I was baptized. Well, believing in Jesus Christ is taking on a new nature. We are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. He who took our sin, we don't understand that. All that filthiness, all that sin, everything that this world has committed was a high treason against God in heaven. Everything was against him. And my dear friend today, my dear brother and sister, when we today choose to live in a sin, you know what we're doing? We are the ones who are slapping Jesus in the face as he's hanging on the cross. We are the ones that are doing that. We are rejecting him. The Holy Spirit came to reprove us of sin and righteousness and judgment. He came. And what are we doing? What will we do with him? Jesus, I have many things yet to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. You can't handle what I'm going to tell you. You know, what he had to say, those things were so precious. It was life itself. They couldn't handle them. Picture a burden of the most precious and refined gold that can be placed upon you. It is so much weight that you cannot bear. It doesn't matter how precious it is, how much you want it, you cannot bear it right now. You will fall under its weight. They could not comprehend and understand until they became enlightened by the Holy Spirit of God, who revealed unto them all truths that are found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Dear ones, we can read the Bible and never know Jesus.
and never know him. We can make service to God just of the do's and the don'ts and never know the power that is found in Jesus Christ. Convicting the world of righteousness. Do I belong to the Father? Do I belong to him? Do I belong to Jesus? The life of the Holy Spirit gives us is a life that is sanctified, that serves the Lord Jesus, a life of righteousness. Be ye holy as I am holy. Those words, dear ones, came through the power of the Holy Spirit of God as he revealed the truths that are found in the epistles. You and I today are with no excuse. His blessed disciples who walk with him, who saw the miracles, and saw, they still, he says, the truths that I have to share with you, you cannot handle right now. But dear ones, today, as we sang the hymn, as he looks down upon us with such love, as he reproves us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, he also gives unto us power. Do you think that Jesus can hardly wait to usher in a throng of weak Christians who are just falling about, tripping over themselves, ignoring the message of the Holy Spirit, ignoring the one who he sent to reveal all things unto us as we ignore him and go our own way, doing what we think is good. I have the blood. And ignoring a life of sanctification, of righteousness. Do you think he's ready to bring us marching on into heaven? Dear ones, each one of us, when we face Jesus Christ, we are given a choice. Will I repent? That sin which I'm holding on to, the sin which I can even cry over day and night, I refuse to give it to him because he knows. I know he will take it away from me, and I don't want to let it go. I want that lust. I want that drink. I want that. I want those things. Who do we turn to? The Bible tells us it's the Holy Spirit who reveals all things. Dear ones, you know, Jesus nowhere in the scripture told us, if you have a besetting sin, go to the psychiatrist, go to the psychologist, go to those men of renown, men who are smart, who have studied the psyche of a man. He says, the Spirit of truth. Are we saying that the power of God is not sufficient? He who crushed the serpent, he who says, in me you will have life, that I have no power in him, that he is not all sufficient, that he cannot rid me of my sin that doth so easily beset me. He can't do that. I have to turn to the beggarly elements of this life. Unless, and dear ones, he has given you and I, brothers and sisters, to do this work of the Spirit also and to point others to who? To Jesus Christ. Are you going to tell me that if you come to me or I come to you or someone comes to us and says, I have a problem, I have a sin in my life, are you going to point them to go somewhere else? Where are you going to point them to? Jesus Christ. And dear ones, today we have that declaration. The work of the Holy Spirit is the work that is all sufficient, that will overcome all things. Yes, all things. Dare I say that God will look the other way when I continue in my sin? I just slapped him in the face as he hung on the cross. How awful to think that. I know when we read of the crucifixion of Jesus, we look and we stand in amazement in many ways. This is the Lord of glory. This is the creator of all things seen and unseen. He has humbled himself He has humbled himself unto the death of the cross. He has humbled himself. And man, who he created, who he gives life to, is slapping him, spitting on him. And Satan is speaking again to him, trying to overcome again on the cross. Come down from there if you are the Son of God. They'd blindfold him and hit him, and who is it? Guess who it is, and so on. That's Satan trying yet again through the mouths of man to overcome, and he was defeated in a way that we don't understand today. Apostle Paul says we see everything through a glass darkly. But then, because I go to the Father, brothers and sisters, dear friends, when we go to the Father, when we see him face to face, everything will be made known unto us. But today, we have his Spirit to direct us into the truths. Into the truths that were able to be found in the Old Testament times. And we see the last of the Hebrew prophets, as he turns, when he sees Jesus, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who taketh the sins of the world." This is him. This is him. What does he mean to you and to me today? It says, "Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth." He will never mislead you. He will never mislead you. He will not speak of himself, just as Jesus always said, "I came to do the will. Everything that the Father has given unto me, I've revealed it unto you." He says, so he will not speak of himself. Whatever he shall hear, that will he speak. He will show you things that are to come. And he will glorify me. He shall receive of mine, of me, and will show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. And so he speaks of his departure here, and he says, a little while and you'll not see me. And again, a little while you will see me, because I go to the Father. They were on their way to Gethsemane. And listen, as they're trying to understand what he means by "I will," you see me, you won't see me, you'll see me again. He says, "Do you inquire among yourselves?" He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." And dear ones, this was fulfilled. We read it. The world was clapping their hands when they got rid of Jesus. The one who they felt guilty being around. They wanted to remove that guilt from them. My dear friends, you don't want to be in the presence of Jesus every day. You forget him, because when you are with him, you feel guilty. The burden of your sin is upon you because you didn't place it upon him. You didn't give it to him. And he says here, "You will weep and you will lament." And we see them, dear ones. He says, "Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart will rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." Dear ones, in Christ, there is a joy that can never be taken away. The circumstances of this life have no say upon the joy that is in the heart of one who has been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, the one who is sanctified by the Holy Spirit of God, by the blood of Christ, to live a life that is regenerated. Nicodemus said, "Thou art a teacher from God." He recognized it. The disciples realized it. Everyone who heard realized this is teaching from God. But you might say that today too. And you know it in your heart. But you know what? Not every belief generates or regenerates. Not every belief regenerates. Because you can have a belief, knowing, and you're going to come again. And you're going to wait for some miracle to happen as you reject Jesus Christ today. You reject him today as you wait for something. We read in Jonah not that long ago. They were in the ship. The waves were tossed to and fro. None of them knew God. None of them knew God. Suddenly, that ship became a house of prayer. Call upon your God. Your God, not my God. Your God, Jonah. Call upon him. Things happen in our life. Things happen in a service, in a reading of a word, in something that you hear about, something that you go through. God reveals himself to us. He makes his presence known. He reminds you. He reminds you that the world lies in judgment for its sin and its rejection of a sanctified life and life of righteousness in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he says, "I spoke to you in Proverbs, but the time comes when I shall no more speak in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask me in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world again. I leave the world, and I go to the Father." And here's what their answer is to that. Now you speak plainly. Now you're not speaking in Proverbs. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. And Jesus says, "Do you?" You know, I believe every one of us here, brothers and sisters and friends, I know every one of us here believes that Jesus came from God. That Jesus came to die. I believe, we will say. And Jesus says, "Do you? Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, yea, is now come, that ye will be scattered. Every man to his own." You're going to run. You're going to run like rabbits to your own houses. Everyone to his own. And you're going to leave me alone. He says, "But I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So why does he tell us be of good cheer? Because he has overcome the world. And in his power, we will overcome the world. The world lies in condemnation. The prince of the air, the prince of the world, is crushed. He tells us here of judgment, condemnation. Because the prince of the world is judged. Now, will you choose to be judged with the prince of the world? The lake of fire which is reserved for him, will you say, "I'm going there too. I'm going there. That's where I want to go." But no, I believe. Do you? What does that belief do? Does it create in you a new man? We know that the Spirit, when he descended upon the believers at Pentecost, They received a power. And this joy that he speaks of here, we see it on full display. In the face of great tribulation, he said, I told you that. Don't be alarmed. Don't be alarmed when there's tribulation. Don't be alarmed when they kill you. Don't be alarmed. I told you these things. Be of good cheer. Rejoice in the Lord Jesus. Because after all, after this short days of trouble, of trials, of adversities, of tears and weeping and everything else that we have already all felt, it's all short. And then you will go where I have gone to prepare a place for you. You will go there. As I proceed from the Father and as I go back to my Father, so you have believed in me. You have overcome the world. And you will come to the Father. What a joy. And we will see him face to face. And so, dear ones, we have all come today, this morning, face to face with Jesus Christ. And his message of salvation, a message of hope that he gives every one of us. Will you choose to go to the Father through him, or will you choose to go to hell through Satan? May God be with us in that moment of decision today. Amen.
Jesus spoke here of many contrasts in this passage. He spoke of a little while you shall see me, and then a little while you won't see me. He spoke of the world rejoicing and them weeping. He spoke of sorrow versus joy. He spoke of tribulation versus peace. He spoke here in contrasts. But the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ were working together to bring forth the message of the Father, and whether Jesus was here in bodily form or not, the message of God was going to come forth. And we read that in this morning hour, and we are thankful for that. But perhaps the thought I'd like to leave us with is the thought that Jesus said that we can have joy and peace in him. This is where our hearts yearn for and desire, that we can have this joy in him. He says, ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. They experienced that. These apostles, as they saw the Lord in his resurrected state, they had joy in their hearts. And no man could take away that joy, though shortly afterwards, after he ascended to the Father, the apostles were persecuted, and severely. Yet no man could take away that joy from them. And likewise in our lives, though we might not suffer to the extent that the apostles suffered, that no man can take away the joy that we have in the Lord. So let's remember that we have this joy in the Lord. Here too have ye asked nothing in my name? Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. We can have a full joy in the Lord as we in faith inquire and ask of him to provide for us. And then he speaks here at the very end. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Though there might be tribulation, and we go through these things in life, though there would be tribulation, yet we can have peace. Peace in the Lord Jesus Christ, and in nothing else, but peace in Jesus. So peace and joy in Christ Jesus. We have these things. So a message to our friends. Is the battle with Satan tiresome? Is the things that he's offering you of any value to you anymore? Are you tired of it all? Are you longing for that peace and a joy that can be had in Christ Jesus? Come to him. Come to Jesus. Follow him. Follow in his ways, that you might have this peace and this joy that no man can take away from you, and no situation will take away from you. May God bless his word upon our hearts in this morning hour. Amen.